Thank you very much. And what I would like to do is just to guide you through the proposal that the Continental Initiative has worked out. It is Indonesia and Switzerland are submitting that proposal formally, so it's not all the members that have been part of that Continental Initiative. And the reason for that is really to underline it is a Continental Initiative. It is supported by the persons who have been there, of course, and have been engaged. But it is something that should be presented to the COP, and then that should be negotiated and further developed within the COP by all parties. The proposal that we are submitting, and I think it's good to use perhaps the paper that has been that you could take outside, which is including the draft decision. This draft decision basically includes three clusters of activities that we think are important to undertake in order to realize objectives of the Basel Convention and of the Ban Amendment. The first part deals with the Ban Amendment as such. The Ban Amendment is seen as one tool that could serve the objectives of the conventions, and so one part deals with the Ban Amendment as such. A second part that deals with environmental sound management independent of having ratified the Ban Amendment or not. And then the third cluster deals with issues that are not directly linked to these issues, like legal clarity, illegal traffic, vulnerable countries, and so on. As indicated, this should reflect also the basic reasons that have been identified why transboundary movement of hazardous waste is still taking place and into countries that are not able to deal appropriately with that hazardous waste. So these are the three basic clusters. Let me first address the Ban Amendment part of it. This is the addressing the entry into force of the Ban Amendment, the first operative part of the draft decision that you can collect outside. We have to note that the Ban Amendment, it was adopted about 20 years ago, but it is not yet into force. Since its adoption, since its proposal, it has not entered into force. Since then, the situation has significantly changed. Many countries have ratified the ban and are implementing it. So we are already in a situation where all the OECD countries that have ratified the ban are implementing it. Others will not ratify the ban independent of its status. I think this is something that we have to take note of. And it is also important to note that most transboundary movement of hazardous waste is not affected by the ban. There will be a background document that is circulated that is outlining that analysis that we did, this is quite important to note. It's not, most of the transboundary movement is not affected by the ban. And it is also important to note, therefore, that the practical consequences, the practical significance of an entry into force of the ban is probably not as big as many believe. And this can be illustrated by this graphic. You have on the one side, basically the Ban Amendment says that export of hazardous waste from OECD countries to non-OECD countries is banned. And of course, this is banning only for those who have ratified the ban. So you have basically four groups of countries you have to look at. You have the Annex 7 parties, the OECD countries, that have ratified the ban. And you have the Annex 7 parties who have not ratified the ban. And similarly, you have the non-Annex 7 parties who have ratified the ban and those who have not ratified the ban. So what the ban says, it prohibits the exportations of the Annex 7 parties that have ratified the ban to non-Annex 7 parties, independent whether they have ratified the ban. This is this line that is crossed through. This transboundary movement is prohibited by the ban. Today, all the OECD countries, all the Annex 7 parties who have ratified the ban, apply the ban already. That means already today, no exportation is taking place from those countries to non-Annex 7 countries, independent whether they have ratified the ban or not. If the ban would enter into force, well, the practical consequence is that some countries more would have ratified it, but there is no direct implication, no significant direct impact on transboundary movements. Those Annex 7 parties who have not ratified the ban and who will not ratify the ban in future will be allowed also in future to continue to export hazardous waste to non-Annex 7 countries. I think this is quite an important thing that we all have to realize. So while on the one side the practical significance is not as important perhaps as some have believed so far, that's one of the conclusions of our analysis, we still have to acknowledge that the ban remains a powerful political goal and a signal for many countries. Therefore, perhaps the entry into force, while it might perhaps not be as important for practical reasons, we believe it is very important for symbolic and for powerful political reasons. It is important that this instrument can enter into force. And that's the reason why we propose two things. First, we propose that initiatives to assist countries to ratify the ban should continue. We need more ratification of the instruments. Many countries believe it's a right approach and we have to support this initiative. The second element is we need to agree on the interpretation of Article 17.5. It is a bizarre situation that the COP over the last years was not able to agree how this Article 17.5 has to be construed. We need an agreement on this interpretation, and we need an agreement on interpretation that allows for an early entry into force of the ban amendment. Those parties have been opposed to it because they were afraid of consequences on the practical ground. They can be relaxed. And those for whom it's important for symbolic and political reasons, they need it really that this instrument enters into force. That's the reason why we propose these two elements. That's the first part of the proposal from the Indonesian Swiss Country Initiative. There will also be a document circulated that illustrates the different ways how Article 17.5 can be interpreted. There are several different approaches how to interpret Article 17.5. One is the current time approach, indicating that the current members of the party of the convention are relevant in order to outline the threshold that needs for the entry into force of the ban. And the other is a fixed time approach that says, no, it's not today's numbers that are relevant, but it's a number of parties that the Basel Convention had when the ban was adopted. We think this second approach, the fixed time approach, is more in line with the wording of the convention, because the convention makes a specific reference to the parties that have been present, that have been a party of the convention when an amendment was adopted. And we also think this is the right approach forward, because this is also the approach that makes it easy to bring the ban into force. Under the fixed time approach, there are four different ways of interpretation again. And there we will propose that as Indonesian Switzerland, we will propose that one of those two interpretation that make also sense from a legal perspective that are really fitting with the wording of the convention, that these interpretations should be adopted. This is a proposal, of course. It needs some more discussions between the countries, but we think if we are not able to agree on that part of the three elements of the CLI proposal, if you are not able to agree on interpretation of Article 17.5 that helps the entry into force of the ban amendment, and if you are not able to agree on continuing these initiatives that promote and facilitate ratification, then the whole package will collapse. It is a crucial part, it is part of it, and that's also the reason why it is included in it. The second element, the second cluster deals with standards and guidelines for environmental sound management of hazardous wastes. As seen on that graph before, the biggest part of the transboundary movement is not and will not be covered by the ban. And if we really want to fulfill the objectives of the Basel Convention, then we have also to help that this transboundary movement that is still taking place receives a framework that helps us to ensure that this transboundary movement is environmentally sound. That means that it's not going to countries who are not able to deal with the hazardous waste in an environmentally sound manner. Therefore, we have to deal with also that area that is outside of the strict application of the ban amendment. That means the transboundary movement from Annex 7, parties who have not ratified the ban amendments, to other parties, and also the transboundary movement between non-Annex 7 parties. What we need here is really, we need real action, and that's the reason why we make a concrete proposal. We need a new framework of requirements for environmentally sound management of waste. We think we need a framework, we need structure, and we need oversight so that we can reinvigorate and focus more tightly the existing work on guidelines. We need additional guidelines on environmental management. And therefore we ask that a technical working group will be established that should take into account and build upon existing activities, identify gaps, and then propose new guidelines that could be adopted by the COP. And if you see the annex to this decision, which is outlining in more details what should be done with regard to standards of environmental management, you also see as a last point, we also think we should establish elements how this environmental standards could be linked to transboundary movement, so also really in order to cover all these transboundary movements that are taking place and that are not covered by the ban amendment. But as indicated by Paula, there are also other reasons that are quite important to tackle if you want to achieve the objectives of the Basel Convention of the Ban Amendment. And therefore we propose a set of other activities, of other measures that should be undertaken in order to address these other reasons that are not only economic. One is to provide further legal clarity. There are many areas where we really have a not sufficient clear common understanding what the terms of the convention means, like what is waste, what is non-waste, what is reused, what is a hazardous and what is non-hazardous waste, refurbishing, a second-hand goods, used goods, charity. There are many areas where we do not have a clear common understanding, and this of course makes the implementation of the Basel Convention very difficult, because you do not know whether the prior informed consent procedure is applying or not, so we need further legal clarity. And that's the reason why we propose that the compliance committee of the convention, who has a broad mandate, should tackle this issue, that they should look at the issues that need further legal clarity and develop guidelines and develop guidance how this legal clarity can be provided, and then report back to the COP for the next COP, so that then the decisions can be taken in order to ensure that an enhancement of the legal clarity. This will be an activity that will need additional funding. It's a new activity that typically needs a secondary funding, and I can announce already now that we will be ready also to provide support for that, because we think it is crucial activities that have to go forward. It's the same also actually in the area of standard management standards. We need the activity that is launched, a technical working group that will do a lot of work, and there again we will be willing to continue to support the implementation of this initiative so that this work can be accomplished. Then another challenge that many countries face are really challenges that you face in a region where you have similar problems, similar difficulties. That's the reason why we also think we need also to strengthen the Basel Convention regional and coordination centers. We really need to strengthen the work of that. We have to imply them. They have to provide and to continue their important role with regard to tech training, technical assistance, awareness raising, but also networking, building bridges to other institutions in the region that are relevant for these activities. That's the reason why we propose a number of concrete proposals, how the Basel Convention Regional Centres could be strengthened. And you'll find them outlined in the draft decision. Another area that is a huge problem, that's combating illegal traffic of hazardous waste. This is something that the ban amendment cannot address, because if something is illegal, then it's not covered by the ban amendment, of course. So the ban amendment is no help to that significant challenge. It is a problem. Illegal trade is a problem. And there are also important activities that have to be strengthened, including through the Basel Regional Centres, networking with institutions like IMPEL, like custom initiatives. There are networks in place that can, if the cooperation between the Basel authorities and these institutions are strengthened and enhanced, if more legislation is enacted and so on, then we will be also able to better tackle the challenge of illegal traffic of hazardous wastes. And as I mentioned also by Paula in her presentation, this is also very important. Vulnerable countries need to be continued, to be supported, to be able to deal with that challenge. That's absolutely clear. There is model legislation in place that the Basel Convention has developed. But this model legislation is not helping if you're standing on the shelves and if they are not known, if there's no interaction possible, no training possible in order to help countries to implement these model legislations. Their approaches to protect yourself from hazardous waste, others than having the ban in force, like adopting national legislation, communicating these national legislation to the Basel Secretariat, so that all countries, all parties of the Basel Convention know that you do not want the import of these hazardous waste. But these activities need to be strengthened, they need to be reinforced, and there again we have listed a set of measures where we think they will facilitate and support the vulnerable countries so that they can be effectively protected from unwanted hazardous waste imports. And then of course capacity building. We need to strengthen the capacity. This needs financial support, this is absolutely clear, but it also needs very concrete measures, because money alone is not sufficient. So we propose a set of measures that can be undertaken in order to strengthen the capacity of all countries in order to really effectively address the challenge of transponding of hazardous wastes. Well, In conclusion, we have the impression that our proposal with the three elements, with the cluster dealing with the ban amendment, the cluster dealing with sound management of hazardous waste and linking that to transboundary movement independent of the ban amendment, and then with the cluster of all these activities dealing with legal clarity, illegal traffic, Basel Regional Center, capacity building, vulnerable countries, that these three clusters together really are a balanced but an ambitious proposal. We want to be ambitious, I think this is clear. That was a benefit of that county initiative that included countries that were fierce opponents and fierce supporters of the ban amendment. So we were able to really to create an atmosphere to find the common ground that those who have difficulties with the ban and those who see it as an important tool could agree upon a joint way forward. Elements of that proposal, of course, can be and should be included in the strategic framework. Paula was referring to it. And we don't see any tension, any difficulties in that. We think that's the easy thing to catch up in a strategic framework, all the very specific and very concrete elements that are outlined in our proposal. And of course, this needs the implementation of this decision will need a further commitment. It will need a further political commitment, but also a further financial commitment. And we also hope that we will be able to find solutions on this regard in Cartagena. Let me conclude that I think Paula really have outlined that very well, the challenge is that there are some who want the ban, who believe in the ban and who need a ban. There are some vulnerable countries who need support in order to be able to deal with that challenge, independent of whether the ban is into force or not. And then we need also a framework for those who have a legitimate interest and who have the capacity to deal with hazardous waste. And as you have rightly indicated, having the capacity means more than just having one facility in an environment that is not conducive. So for these cases, we need a framework that helps really us to make sure that the hazardous waste are dealt in a sound management way. And we think our proposal, it is pragmatic on the one side, but it's still also at the same time ambitious, and we have to remain ambitious in order to make that COP a success. And we really hope that the proposal will get a lot of support. It will need also a lot of work at the COP, because that is an issue proposal. It can be amended, it can be enhanced, it can be strengthened. Some elements might be missing because nobody was thinking of it in the group. So we will have to work in the multilateral setting now on this concrete proposal, but we hope that something will be adopted at the end of this week that is picking up the core elements and strengthening even the core elements of our proposals. Thank you very much.